Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It's Tuesday, it's Christmas Eve, live in Los Angeles, chilly for a change. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. You see all the holiday flowers here as Joy Taylor joins me 1 hour from now. The Herd hierarchy, 10 best teams in the NFL. I think we really have a group of have and have nots, even among the best teams in the NFL. Here we go, it's Christmas Eve. You and I both fly out. You go east, I go to the mountains. And wishing everybody who joins us today, we know a lot of people are just sitting home. You have a lot of choices on television. You can yell at the TV and watch politics or have some fun and watch sports.
Yes. Merry Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve to everyone. And I'm having a great Christmas Eve because I called this game a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Green Bay won. And let's start with Minnesota. It'd be very easy for me. Kirk Cousins can't win Monday Night Football. He's 0-9. And I'm hearing it this morning. Colin, his offensive line stinks. Listen, you do get how the NFL works. Outside of Dak Prescott, most guys don't come out of college and inherit the best O-line, a great running back, good weapons, best stadium. It's not the way it works. It is all about overcoming in this league. It's not that Kirk Cousins lost. It's that he had 7 first downs at home. It's not that Kirk Cousins lost. It's that they averaged 2.6 yards a play with all those weapons. It's not that Kirk Cousins lost. It's that it was at home against the so-so defense, and they got 3 first-half turnovers handed to him in Green Bay territory. Nobody thinks Kirk Cousins is Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't. He's 6'2", 205. He's as big as me. He's not big, doesn't have a cannon arms, not super athletic. We all know the game. Tractors or trailers. He needs to be pulled. He's not a guy that can pull the franchise. But if you're making $28 million a year, the 3 or 4 times a year, your team doesn't have their top 2 running backs, your offensive line's getting worked, you need to carry the team. And he can't. Ever. And Bears fans and Viking fans, Aaron Rodgers makes you very, very touchy about the quarterback situation because you haven't had a quarterback as good as Green Bay in, 2.5 decades between Favre and Rodgers. So Viking fans get very defensive and Bear fans get very defensive about Trubisky or there's a Kirk Cousins. The reason you get defensive and angry is because you know the truth. You got the better roster. You got the better defense. Even at home, Aaron comes into town and beats you. And Aaron didn't play particularly well. And they turned the ball over 3 times. It's not – teams don't need even Patrick Mahomes to carry the team. Carson Wentz, some of his career, he's been carried by a very good team. Last 3 weeks, the Eagles have said, listen, bro, we're out of players. Can you carry us? And Carson Wentz is like, get on my back. It's all me, 3-0. Tom Brady this year, no tight end productivity, no deep threat, 2 rookie wide receivers, revolving door at left tackle, lost his Pro Bowl center, lost Brian Flores on the defensive staff. Tom, can you still win us a division? I got this. Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners have asked him about 3 times this year. They said, Jimmy, our defense didn't show up. Can you win in New Orleans? You know, can you win about 3 times this year? Can you beat the Rams? Our defense can't stop anybody. And Garoppolo 3 times. And I don't think Garoppolo is brilliant, but Carson Wentz, Tom Brady, Garoppolo, guys, I got this. This is not a position for trust fund kids. You don't wake up rich. You got to grind through every NFL season. Dak's the exception. Weapons, running back, O-line, that is the exception. Plays in a state without big, ugly weather. Most guys, even the great ones, Drew Brees, by the way, there are times that he can't move the ball. Last couple times they've played Dallas. He didn't carry the team every week. Mahomes doesn't carry him every week. But you know, I hear this constant, well, Kirk doesn't have this. I'm not interested in the problems. I'm simply looking for solutions with quarterbacks. And we're not asking Kirk to carry the team. We're not. We're just saying three or four times a year, could you make a play? And he can't. Again. So you're always telling me what Kirk Cousins doesn't have. Here's what he doesn't have. A win on Monday night. Ever. He's 0-9. That's what he doesn't have. And when you make $28 million, on those nights you don't have everything, you are the difference. We're going to lean on you to be the difference. And I think Kirk's a nice guy, but there's no reason to get defensive. There's no reason to make excuses. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a perfect night. Garoppolo this year, Brady this year, Carson Wentz this year, Patrick Mahomes has been playing on one foot in October, November. But if you make $28 million, you got to occasionally carry the team. It's not asking much with that coach and that defense. All right, let's go to Green Bay because we need to give them credit, right? I always feel like Visa and MasterCard after the Packers when I have to give them credit. So here's basically what my eyes are telling me. They're okay. Congrats, you're 12-3 and won the division. First, my eyes tell me things. Green Bay basically has one perimeter weapon, Davante Adams. Nothing after that. Their offense is basically Davante Adams make a play or hand it to Aaron Jones. They're both spectacular, and that is it. Belichick would love to face these guys. Bracket Davante Adams, crowd the box, take away Aaron Jones. They don't have a third punch. Defensively, they're 13th in sacks, 18th in total defense. Offensively, they're 16th in yards per play, 22nd in third down conversions, 17th in second half scoring, 21st in total defense. I don't know what to say. Congrats on winning the division at 12-3 and getting a bye and playing at home and potentially getting a number one seed. Congratulations. But my eyes tell me one thing and stats tell me another. I got a young coach who I think is going to be the second best coach in any NFC playoff game to Doug Peterson, to Pete Carroll, to Sean Payton, to Kyle Shanahan, or if they had to play the Vikings again, to Mike Zimmer. And next time they'll have their star running back, Dalvin Cook. My eyes tell me Green Bay is good enough to win the NFC North at 12-3, but I see a completely limited team. They take the ball away and they don't give it back. They've got a New England feel. They've got very limited playmakers, but they don't give you many free touchdowns, and they do take the ball away, top 10 in the league. So there's that. And the other thing is Aaron Rodgers, snippy and petty, seems to be happy this year.
Back on top of the North after a couple years being down. Feels great to win in the stadium. You know, where a couple years ago I was jeered leaving the field after breaking my collarbone. Feels pretty good.
They're just boxes I think you need to check to win the Super Bowl. One of them is head coach. I think they'll have one of the weakest head coaches in football. Another one is playmakers. Not a lot of them. The other one is quarterback. Okay, they check that. Opportunistic defense, if not great. They kind of check that. They'll play at home. They do check that. But boy, when I look at the numbers that matter offensively and defensively and the coach, and they don't throw the ball, by the way, down the field well. That's with Aaron Rodgers. One receiver, one back I like. They won. Congrats. 12-3. You're at home. It's lining up. I just do not. This feels very Green Bay over the last 20 years. They'll play a playoff game at Lambeau. They'll win a playoff game at Lambeau. And they're just not special enough to get to the next level. Even if they played Minnesota again in Lambeau, Dalvin Cook's back, I'd take Minnesota. I really would. I would take Minnesota.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I love this time of the year. Major bowls. Fox has one. USC, Iowa on Friday. Then you get into the playoffs in the last couple of weeks. The NFL, by the way, very smartly, a few years back, this is really bright, they altered their schedule. So now at the end of the season, you play in-division games. Seattle, San Francisco, Dallas, Philadelphia. So the NFL's always been very smart the way they orchestrate their TV packages, much smarter than other sports, especially baseball. So that's why we're getting all these great games. We're getting Cleveland and Baltimore, San Francisco, Seattle, Philadelphia, Dallas. You're getting all these games that matter at the end of the year. Generally, over the course of a year, I do a Super Bowl bubble every couple of weeks, and it's always eight. Always feels like eight teams and a couple on the periphery. So right now, the current playoff teams are the Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs, Texans, Bills, Titans. Raiders, Steelers have a chance. Let's not talk about them. It's unlikely. They're fun, but these are the six. In the NFC, Niners, Packers, Saints, Eagles, Seahawks, Vikings. I really feel they fall into three groups. Four teams can win the Super Bowl. I think the Ravens can win it. I think the Chiefs can win it. I think the Niners can win it, and I think the Saints can win it. That's it. I think two can get really close. I think the Patriots can get close, but lack athletic ability offensively. Not enough playmakers. I think Green Bay can get close, but I don't trust Matt LaFleur against the Sean Payton, against the Pete Carroll, against the Mike Zimmer again, against the Kyle Shanahan, against the Doug Peterson. I don't trust him there, and I also think, you know, Devontae Adams and a little pressure on Aaron Rodgers. I've seen Green Bay get mauled three times this year by good pass rushes. The Chargers, Philadelphia's ground game pushed them around, and San Francisco punched them in the forehead. So I can't unsee that. So my Super Bowl bubble is really now small. It's down to four. Baltimore, Kansas City, San Francisco, Saints, and I think Green Bay and I think New England are close. Now, I think there's six teams with no shot, but they're in the playoffs. You know, it's the Buffaloes, it's the Tennessees. Now, Seattle is the one team I've made a real shift on over the weekend. When you have a cluster injury to one position, and it's the second most important position on your team, running back, this is a running team. Three teams in the league run it like the 70s. Baltimore, Seattle, and San Francisco, they don't have a running back. They're bringing in Marshawn Lynch. I mean, come on. What is that? I mean, first and goal, maybe you used beast mode, but I think it's real simple. I think we're down to six that can win it, six in that can't. They're in it. You know, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Seattle could win a playoff game. That's about it. No shot at a Super Bowl.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, here we go. You know, I spend a lot of time on this. We think about it. We talk about it. I think we've got a kind of a clear delineation. There's a really good four or five, and then there's a lot of close, and then there's playoff teams that can't do much. Here we go, our Herd hierarchy.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Seattle Seahawks. Sometimes you get bad breaks in life, and they're a running team who just had cluster injuries last weekend at running back. They're flying Marshawn Lynch into town, who can solve some of it, not all of it. Listen, they were already a team that was too Russell Wilson dependent. But as the running game got better, they were becoming less so. But now the running game is shattered. And I think, now listen, Russell's tremendous. 29 touchdowns, 5 picks. If any guy in this league could just will his way to win, they're also a great road team. I mean, Seattle is got a great home field advantage. I think Russell Wilson and Tom Brady are the best road quarterbacks of my life. But I think you can't have cluster injuries in one of the most important units, especially for this team. I have them at 10.
Number 9.
I think we all know what Buffalo is. They're good, not special. A little young at quarterback. I don't think they have kind of the playmaker that a Kansas City or a Baltimore would at quarterback to get out-coached and win. I think they have to win by out-coaching, not turning it over. You know, the two games against New England say it all. They had them both and lost them both. And that's what they are. For a team that was in the bottom five organizations in the league for a decade, it's baby steps. And they got into the playoffs a couple years ago, and it was one of the ugly games. And they're going to get into the playoffs this year, and it won't be as ugly. But I think we all know what Buffalo is. They're close to being really, really interesting, and now it's kind of interesting. Number 9.
Number 8.
Philadelphia. They are very good situationally. This is what I love about it. They went to Buffalo and won. That's why I put them ahead of Buffalo. Very good situationally. Now, I do think if they get into the playoffs, situations aren't going to matter because they're going to get blown out by the Saints. They're just not good enough athletically. Now, DeSean Jackson may come back if they want a playoff game, but that's, you know, that's way down the road. There's a lot of things they do well. Last four games, Carson Wentz, dealing with deck chairs and lawn furniture, is completing almost 69% of his throws. They got some young guys picking up the slack. There's things I like about them. Most of them are qualities that win you close games. But I don't think they'd be in a close game against New Orleans or a San Francisco, so I have them at 8.
Number 7.
Minnesota. Everything's got to go perfect for Kirk Cousins, and that's not the way the NFL works. Last night's a great example. He was at home. He got 3 turnovers, but he's missing a couple of running backs. That means they rely on him, and he just can't do it. So this league is not about everything falling into place. It's about everything falling apart and you keeping it in place. And again, I like the coach. I like the defense. But I just think there's real limitations at quarterback. Listen, last night they were showing, and by the way, it's now into Kirk Cousins' head. They were showing close-ups of Kirk Cousins and he would take these deep, obvious sighs. He's anxious. He understands the brand. He understands what we're saying. I don't think that helps as the games get bigger and more off script. I think he has to be totally on script and comfortable, so Minnesota's at 7.
Number 6.
Don't love Green Bay, but they beat him in Minneapolis, so I get him at 6. Listen, they've only got one big offensive threat when you combine the tight end and wide receiver core, Devontae Adams. And I think the best coaches will bracket him, or the Saints would put Lattimore on him. Or, you know, I just don't think Devontae Adams can be your entire passing game. And by the way, you can just look at the numbers. Even with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron's not very good this year throwing balls and completions over 15 yards. He's not very good at all. He's 11th in passer rating, 16th in passing yards per game. So we've seen what they are. I mean, they can win without Devontae Adams, but they can only win vertically one way, Devontae Adams. And I think the best teams will take him away. Aaron Rodgers, his numbers are very similar to last year with Mike McCarthy. Now, they have a better running game, but offensively, passing the ball, there's just much better in the NFL right now than Green Bay. I put him at 6.
Number 5.
New England, because I think New England would beat Green Bay. I think New England would look at Green Bay and go, God, we've seen this before. Crowd the box for Aaron Jones, bracket Devontae Adams, they won't move the ball on us, and they wouldn't. There's so many things I like about New England. Special teams, defense, head coach, quarterback, experience, situational. Here's what I don't. They can win one way. It's got to be low scoring. They can't get into firework shows. And I don't think athletically they can stop Kansas City or Baltimore. They can't keep them in the teens. They are the most resourceful team in the NFL, and that is an awesome quality. But I think even at Foxborough, they would struggle to beat Kansas City a second time. They check every box, but in the NFL playoffs, you occasionally need a cheap touchdown. Now, they are number one in takeaways. And what does that mean? They get short field. They'll take the ball away, and they'll have 27-yard drives for touchdowns, not 77. So, again, they have manipulated their lack of athleticism brilliantly. Trick plays, block punts, takeaways. But I think the ceiling is lower this year than any I remember.
Number 4.
San Francisco. The next two teams remind me of each other. Here's what I like about San Francisco. Jimmy G. Everybody else doubts him. But you know what this kid's done since week 11? 70% completions. He makes the occasional mistake, but boy, is he good when you need him. As we've looked at this defensive line, and we look at Kyle Shanahan, you know what's really impressive? Jimmy Garoppolo. And then they added Emmanuel Sanders, along with George Kittle. Why does that matter? Because this is a team that doesn't need 12 play drives. Sometimes they just flip it out to George, and he goes, he goes rock. He just runs over people, and you get a cheap touchdown. I think Emmanuel Sanders was a huge organizational decision. And I think it's helped them, and he helped them this weekend. They have the secret sauce. They can be outplayed and get cheap touchdowns and win games there at number 4.
Number 3.
I think Kansas City is San Francisco of the AFC. Their defense can run hot and cold. I've got a young quarterback. I love both their coaches. They're crazy explosive. But I think they can be outcoached and outplayed and win. And I think that matters in the NFL. I think it matters in the playoffs. You're going against the greatest quarterbacks and the greatest coaches. You're going to have bad halves. Belichick's had bad halves. Belichick had a bad first half in the Super Bowl. But I think Kansas City and San Francisco, and if they played, I'd probably take Kansas City by a field goal. They are the equivalent of each other.
Number two.
New Orleans. I doubted them all year. Unbelievably athletic. The most dominant player on the perimeter in the league, Michael Thomas. Great GM, great coach. Offensive line is well compensated and worth it. They've done a good job to draft and acquire pass rushers. Not a lot they don't do well. You get, and here's the thing. I kind of get the same formula. Smart. They're very New England. Very resourceful. Very smart. You can't get to the quarterback. They sack yours. You can't sack theirs. Let me read this here. They've turned the ball over 8 times all year. That's for an offense that's passing the ball all over the place and is wildly sophisticated and clever. They just give you no openings. They don't play poorly. They lose, but they just don't play poorly on any Sunday. I've got them at 2.
Number 1.
Baltimore. You know what's interesting about Baltimore? If you go to their defense week 1 and now, they got like 7 different players starting. They've done a very good job organizationally over the course of a season to change their defense, add pieces, get a lot of experience. I still think, you know, I kind of feel like they topped out at week 13, and they're not going to play anybody this weekend. So they're going to get a bye. They're going to be at home. They're going to be rested. But I think they're the Saints, but more explosive over the top. I would take them over the – they're the Saints. No mistakes, a lot of good players. But the Saints, it's mostly 9-play drives dominated by Kamara, Breeze, and Michael Thomas. This team will get freebies. Lamar Jackson will put on a move, boom, get a freebie. This team will throw the ball over the top. So Baltimore's my number one team in the National Football League.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. Brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. You like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk football, football, and more football. Coming up on the show, Kirk Cousins lays another egg on Monday Night Football. Packers headed to the playoffs to clinch a 1 or 2 seed. The Cowboys, the Eagles, the Patriots, the Niners, the Rams. We talk it all, even a little Baker Mayfield. Again, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe with me, John Middlecoff.
I am a very giving person, especially to troubled NFL stars who just need a little something here on Christmas Eve and Christmas to make the Yuletide spirit feel more grand. And so Joy Taylor will join Uncle Colin here, Santa Colin, as we give away presents, a good dozen presents, as we move into Christmas tomorrow morning.
Okay. Uncle Colin.
Ho, ho, ho.
What gift would you give to Tom Brady?
Well, I've given this great thought. Uncle Colin is going to give Tom Brady jetpacks for Christmas, which in turn he can give to his wide receivers, who in turn can get separation. His wide receivers rank 20th by Pro Football Focus. They haven't scored 25-plus points just once since October. They need some jet propulsion in that receiving core.
I think that'll pass the uniform
codes,
standards. Yeah. Uncle Colin, what gift would you give to Sam Darnold?
Oh, I love me some Sam Darnold.
You do.
I really do. USC to the New York Jets. Instead of just a pair of tackles, how about an entire offensive line?
Ooh.
He is 6-2 when he gets sacked 2 or fewer times. Of course, that rarely happens. Their offensive line is 30th in run blocking and 27th in pass blocking. Ho, ho, ho for Sam Darnold. It is a draft full of excellent tackles. Get him 5.
It's an expensive gift. Uncle Colin, what gift would you give Brian Flores?
Oh, ho, ho. Great admiration for Brian Flores. Got handed nothing. He made chicken salad out of, you know. How about Tua, the Alabama quarterback? We're going to give a good medical report and Tua. They've got 3 picks to go 4-4 down the stretch with a tanking roster. He has earned the most special gift any young coach could have, the next Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's very high praise. Uncle Colin, what gift would you give to Lamar Jackson?
Oh, he has given us so much.
He has.
How about a trophy case? He's going to win MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, the Super Bowl, and maybe he already won the Heisman. The young man, Where is he going to store all these gifts?
It's a very useful gift. Very thoughtful. Uncle Colin, what gift would you give to OBJ?
You know, I've given this great thought.
Mm-hmm.
How about Southwest Airline gift cards?
Love that.
Their slogan is, want to get away? And he told people, come get me. He's having his worst season. He has one playoff game in 6 years. Paris, New York, Cleveland, house in Hollywood, Southwest gift, travel card.
Yeah, he would use that for sure. Uncle Colin, what gift would you give to Andy Reid?
Andy and I have knocked down a few.
Yeah. Good friends.
We are good friends. We enjoy a lot of fun together. And he has the most wins in the Super Bowl era without a Super Bowl. Even Doug Peterson and John Harbaugh from his coaching Christmas tree have them. Andy Reid gets a Super Bowl trophy.
Chiefs Super Bowl.
Look, there's my friend.
He's so excited for a Super Bowl trophy.
Who wouldn't be?
What gift would you give to Carson Wentz?
Oh, very fond of this young man.
Very.
How about a back brace for carrying the Philadelphia Eagles for a month? This guy throwing to deck chairs and lawn furniture. Last three games, 71% completion percentage, 105 passer rating, and no picks. A back brace for all the strain from carrying Greg Ward.
It's very thoughtful. What gift would you give to Aaron Rodgers, Uncle Colin?
Now, he has often been a very spoiled child. But Santa is very forgiving and not judgmental.
At all.
At all. I'm giving Aaron a 49er loss to Seattle.
Ooh.
That would allow him to be a number one seed, play at home around his Packer family. They are 7-1 at home this year.
Pretty good.
Best home record in the NFL. You know, he's been a little chirpy, can be a little petty.
I think you'd appreciate that gift a lot.
Santa is never judgmental on Christmas.
What gift would you give to George Kittle?
Oh, Colin? He is fun.
He is fun.
Lot of fun. How about a championship belt? Rock follows him on Instagram. He's called the People's Tight End. Rock is called the People's Champ. He has added great flair. Just when Gronk retired,
yep. We
needed the millennial version of Gronk, and we got it. He has a flair for wrestling. I think he would appreciate this from Santa.
That's a very thoughtful gift.
From Iowa to Silicon Valley, he's going to have many riches going forward.
What gift would you give to Russell Wilson, Uncle Colin?
Well, I have been a great fan. I mean, his college coach said, you're not good enough. He went to Wisconsin. And the NFL said, you're not good enough. You're going to go to the third round. So I am going to give him a gift that's probably the most expensive gift ever given by Santa. A time machine.
Whoa.
And I'm going to take him back to September, maybe even October, when he had Chris Carson, Dwayne Brown, Jadeveon Clowney, Quandre Diggs, Rashad Penny all healthy.
Yeah, that'd be very useful.
I'm going to take him back in time, and they'll be healthy, because as much admiration as I have, the fondness I have for Russell Wilson, he's pretty much screwed for the next week.
Well, I think that's probably the most expensive. The second most is the offensive line. That's a very expensive
gift. Offensive lines are costly.
Very expensive. All right, finally, Uncle Colin, what gift would you give to Baker Mayfield?
He has been naughty. he had a video with law enforcement.
Well,
naughty.
Yeah.
He grabbed his junk. Naughty. I've grabbed a reindeer, too, from time to time. No junk. And only when the reindeer needed to be scolded. I've grabbed Mrs. Claus, but let's not get into it. But I thought about giving Baker Mayfield coal. But instead, I'm going to give him a mentor. A strong presence in his life. like Tony Robbins.
You gonna give him Tony Robbins?
I'm going to give him Tony Robbins to find the power within, Joy Taylor.
I thought you were gonna say Mike McCarthy.
Somebody to take the greatness within, the power within, and show him the enlightened way to a very Merry Christmas. It's the worst imitation of Santa of all time.
I didn't think it was terrible. Those are thoughtful gifts, though.
And a Happy New Year. Oh, that's next week. Yes, there you go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day tomorrow. Bucky Brooks, NFL player, NFL scout, helped build the Panthers roster and the Seahawks. Now an NFL analyst for NFL Network and Us, writes great articles, high school football coach, all that stuff. So I hear you and I mostly align on people.
Yeah,
mostly.
We do. Mostly.
But we don't on Jimmy G.
Mm.
You're not in on it.
Not all the way in. No, not yet. I think the playoffs will allow us to really see who Jimmy G is. And I know, man, it's easy to get caught up in the fact that he had game-winning drives against the Saints, the game-winning touchdown, the throw that he had against the Rams. I mean, it's nice. Like, look.
2/3 and 16, big plays.
Big plays. We had a blown coverage. Taylor Rapp went too far out in two-man. But, look, give him credit. He made the throws.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you want to see. But what we're going to see in the postseason, he is going to have to win these shootouts against Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson.
He got better players, though.
If you're better players than all those guys?
I don't like Green Bay or Seattle. I like outside of Devontae Adams.
No, I understand that part of it. However, in the postseason, the experience really matters when it comes to the quarterback. And the experience that Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Russell Wilson have collectively, and Jimmy G, it'll be his first major playoff series where he's having to play with a new team, and he's going to have to maybe be the guy. Is he ready to handle of that stuff? I mean, that's a lot.
If I said to you, Jimmy G or Dak, who you like more?
I mean.
Really?
Because, I mean, like now, I mean, I have to say Jimmy G because you get the coaching staff. Like, if we were just talking about individual players, and I would lean towards
Dak. You don't think Jimmy G is more talented than Dak?
I mean, he should be more talented. He was drafted before him, right?
All right, Carson Wentz or Jimmy G?
I would take Carson Wentz.
So would I.
I'll take Carson Wentz.
All right, let's just play the Jimmy G game. Matt Ryan, Jimmy G.
Matt Ryan.
Close.
Oh.
Derek Carr, Jimmy G.
I would take Jimmy G over Derek Carr.
Okay, we'll give us a couple more. Hold on. Kyler Murray, Jimmy G.
Kyler Murray's really good.
I know he is.
He's really good. I would say Jimmy G, but Kyler Murray with a bullet.
Jimmy G or Jared Goff?
That's almost like a push to me.
Well, one's been to a Super Bowl. How about Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins?
Jimmy G. I'll take Jimmy G over Kirk Cousins.
Okay. So you like Jimmy G.
I like him. I like him. He still just has to prove that he is going to be the guy. Like, for the 49ers, to me, when I'm looking at them and their Super Bowl prospects, he is the weakest link.
He's the weakest link?
On their team? For sure. He's the weakest link. He's the only thing that you would question whether they can get over
secondary?
The top. No, I'm fine with the defense. The defense, because the pass rush can mask the issues that they have in the back end, if they have any. The run game is rock solid. They got perimeter playmakers. The Emmanuel Sanders deal was outstanding.
A great deal.
Coupling him with George Kittle's. Look, it's perfect. The only question that you have is, how is Jimmy G going to handle the big stage? So, yes, he's the weakest link.
Wow. If that's the weakest link, just give them the trophy.
I mean, you can feel good about it. You can feel good about it.
If Jimmy G's the weakest link on that team.
Oh. I mean, look, they're well constructed. They're well built.
Ultimately,
if you are a team, and so the way defensive coordinators will come in and how are you going to defend the San Francisco 49ers, who do we have to take away?
George Kittle.
We got to take away George Kittle. We got to stop the running game. And we want to put it on Jimmy G's shoulders because – he has shown a propensity to throw interceptions. So,
not that many.
Turnovers, biggest deciding factor in games. You want to put it on his shoulders because the more he throws, the more likely he's going to throw it to the other team.
So, you came up, reacquaint our audience with your theory on quarterbacks, tractor trailer.
Look, tractors or trailers, trucks and trailers, however you want to call it.
Well, you were a scout. This is how you describe quarterbacks.
This is how we did it. And Daniel Jeremiah, my podcast partner, Move the Sticks, we talked about it. So if you're a truck, you carry the squad. You are carrying everything.
Carson Wentz the last month.
Carson Wentz, Tom Brady forever had been that guy. If you're a trailer, you need a squad to carry you. You are a guy that has to have everything around, the perfect environment,
okay, so let's ask
the right
this.
Stuff.
I'm getting to the point. I don't think there's a lot of trucks in this league.
No.
And about five.
No,
who's
not.
A truck?
I would say Russell Wilson is. I would still say that Aaron Rodgers is. Drew Brees, to a point, even though he's come down, he needs a supporting cast more.
Three.
I don't think Tom Brady is.
Mahomes.
Mahomes is absolutely
okay.
One.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. I think this is the thing. Carson Wentz this weekend, the Sunday game against the Cowboys, I think that was kind of like a coming out party in terms of him joining the ranks of the trucks. What he was able to do with – I mean, like, look, every play it seemed like someone was going to the sideline. He was able to continue to do it. And I will say – It was the biggest game of his career.
Oh,
there was
gosh.
A lot of pressure on him.
Did you
and
not,
he came up.
You sound like an Eagle fan. I know what? You were at the bar with Eagle fans, but you're starting to sound like one. So you going into that game, you were sitting like, I could go either way on him.
Absolutely.
What?
He didn't. What was the signature win?
He was MVP.
Nah, he didn't win it. We talked about it. We talk about him. Hey, he was going to win.
Do I have to win Sportscaster of the Year
yes,
every year?
Yes. Yes. I need to see the Emmys and all that other stuff behind you so I can confirm you. But, like, he hadn't won it. So they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And so we needed to see him play in a big game and demonstrate that he was ready. This was the first big signature win that he's had.
Oh, Lordy.
What's the other signature win?
So you don't like Jimmy G or Wentz until Sunday.
I like them both to a point.
Man.
I like them both, but Carson Wentz had to do it. So now the bigger thing is, can he do it this weekend?
Well,
can he follow it up?
Philadelphia can only – Bucky, they can only win one way.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz isn't going to play. They'll win 17-16. The Eagles can win one way for the rest of the way until they get their guys back.
I mean, and even when they get their guys back, I don't know how great their guys are. Like, Alshon Jeffrey won't come back. Nelson Aguilar is.
There's something.
They have something. But the fact that he's been able to do it with a bunch of tight ends, Greg Ward and Miles Sanders, that's a testament to him. I give him credit. The last half of the season, he has played really well. But early in the year, he was just.
Since his rookie year, Carson Wentz, 80 touchdowns, 21 picks.
That's nice. Very efficient. But, you know, that's
efficient?
You know that's the expectation when you're the number two pick overall, right?
When
you're the second overall pick, you're supposed to be one of those guys, right?
So you're holding it against him?
No, I'm not holding it against him, but that's the standard. Like, Andrew Luck came in as the number one overall pick, and he played like it.
You are hard to please.
Yes, but that's the expectation. That's the expectation, which takes us to, like, the Baker thing. Okay, so if Carson Wentz is drafted number two and the expectation is he's able to carry everyone along – well, with Baker Mayfield, that's the expectation. Like, the expectation is when I take you number one and I say that you're the best player in the draft, you expect phenomenal things. Like, that's the whole point. Because if not, why expend the number one overall pick on that guy?
No, you and I both agreed. I wouldn't have drafted Baker number one. I think he's an NFL franchise quarterback. I don't think he's that. He doesn't have the arm, the size, I just don't see it. To me.
You know, and look, see, like, so why our conversations can matter, because you've been around, you understand the scouting business, you understand you're grading people on an ideal. The ideal is when I take someone number one overall, this is a transcendent talent. This is a generational
player. You know what it is? It's the difference between a model and a supermodel. There's a million models on Instagram. They're all beautiful people. And then Gisele Bündchen walks in, and you're like, okay, that's a supermodel.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Like Tyra Banks or Naomi Campbell. Okay, that's a supermodel. That's a top five pick to me.
Yes.
You don't even look. I mean, honestly, when I saw Calvin Johnson in person, I was like,
yeah.
You don't even look like a receiver.
Right.
Right.
And,
like,
and that's like, as we flip the calendar and get to the 2020 draft, keep that in mind.
Okay.
Because that's the ideal that you want to have when you're picking somebody.
All right. Hopefully Joy's listening to this segment. Here's my thing on Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Where's the special?
Yeah. So here's what I'll say about Joe Burrow. And I really like Joe Burrow a lot. I think he's going to be a really good prospect. However, when we're talking about, like, that sacred ground of being number one overall, Like, you would like them to check off boxes in certain categories. And so when I look at Joe Burrow, what I can say is this year he's been outstanding.
Yes.
Tore it up.
No
However,
question.
The one thing that I worry about is from one year to the next, he went from a 57% completion rate to a 77% completion rate. His touchdown production jumped 300% in one year.
Now,
only thing that we can point to is, like, people say, oh, he had more experience, but Joe Brady comes in and helps with the passing game. So now I wonder which Joe Burrow is going to show up at the NFL facility. The one that we saw in 2019, or the one that we saw in 2018. And so it's just a concern. I'm not saying he's not worthy, but it's one of the things that over the next 3 or 4 months we have to look at, which is why this weekend is as important for him as anything that he's done this year. How he plays against Oklahoma and how he plays the next game potentially against Clemson and Ohio State, he will be judged on those performances.
By the way, he should be.
Yes.
Listen, you do get judged in life on certain moments. And the reality is, when you're – I'm not going to judge Tua against Kentucky.
No.
I'm going to judge him against Georgia and Auburn. And again, I listen, if Joe Burrow wins this thing, and I think Clemson's going to win. I think Clemson's the best team in the country. Ohio State's 2, LSU's 3, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think Oklahoma will make it uncomfortable. And I could be totally wrong on this stuff. But, boy, when Chase Young looks like a top-5 pick.
Oh, yeah.
That is a top-5
pick.
That's
what it's supposed to look like.
That wide receiver.
So that's what – Alabama
receiver.
That's what it's supposed to look like.
Yes.
I like Jerry Jeudy a lot, but like Chase Young is what it's supposed to look like. Having been in Carolina and watched Julius Peppers every day, that's how they're supposed to look. When you take someone number one and number two, when they walk in the building, you're like, yep, he looks. That's what it's supposed to look
that's
like.
That's right.
So Chase Young looks like that. So for me, with Joe Burrow, I just need more convincing that he is the best player in this draft.
Okay, so I think it's fair. This is going to be a great test. If he rocks it against Oklahoma and then beats an Ohio State, maybe I change my mind. I'm always flexible on this stuff.
Yeah, like, and it has to be like that. And look, also, I'll say, like, full disclosure, having worked around the Elite 11 camp and having seen the guys or whatever, like, I think the thing is a little different because now there's so much access to the recruiting sites and everything that typically you hear about these guys that are star players, you hear about them when they're 16, 17, 18.
You didn't with Burrow.
Right. And so, with Tua, we heard about it. So I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that everybody is right.
That's right.
But typically, when guys are generational talents,
by the way, these two kids in LA this year, Bryce Young and the kid going to Clemson.
Yeah,
we've been talking
DJ.
About.
Yes.
Well, we've been talking about them for 3 years. Trevor Lawrence, I saw him as a junior in high school.
Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, same thing. You heard about them. They were 1 and 2. They battled the whole time. And I'm not saying that Joe Burrow can't be number one overall and not come from being a 3 or 4 star
yes.
to rise up to that. I'm just saying, based on his last year, because it was so remarkable, I would have to go back and look at the previous years, and I would just want to know, well, why? Why did it take so long for him to pop? What was the things that impacted his game going from good to great that final season in LSU? Is it him or is it the system? And if it's the system, I just want to know, can we replicate it if he goes to an NFL city? Can someone take what he did at LSU and put him in a situation where he can do the same stuff?
You know what we should do? By the way, Merry Christmas to all your fam.
Yep.
What we should do, you know, when the NFL season ends, you know, we've never done this before. We could hold, you and I could come on, you could bring Daniel Jeremiah over,
okay.
And then I could take Joy, and we're drafting against you. And I want to do a top 10 NFL draft,
ooh.
And we'll throw all sorts of curveballs in it.
Oh, you like that? You like to throw curveballs and mock
drafts
and all that?
I'm a surfer. I'm on my surfboard always waiting for the crazy wave. Bucky Brooks, good seeing you.
Nice.